Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscribe button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
If you appreciate Issues Etc., our 24/7 music and talk stations, and our daily verse-by-verse Bible study, The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, please include a bequest in your will or trust for these worldwide media resources. Bequests aren't subject to federal tax or capital gains taxes. Ensure your children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren the opportunity to listen by including a bequest in your will or trust for Issues Etc., Lutheran Public Radio, and The Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
And if you call, I will answer. And if you fall, I'll pick you up.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It is Thursday, January the 7th, and we're going to take the remainder of the program to go through your email, our email address right here in the studio, or anytime, talkback at issuesetc.org, and the Issues Etc. listener comment line, that number 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382.
Well, I know we've been back since Monday, but I think our listeners would like to know, how was your Christmas break?
It was just fine. I did a little travel to see some family, and then that was a very brief trip, nice and safe, came back, and then my wife put me to work in the basement. She decided that she wanted to, she keeps everything in tubs down there. It's all organized so she knows where everything is.
And you
she
mean like Rubbermaid tubs? Or
the big, yeah, gigantic 40-gallon right. tubs. And She wanted to move all of her tubs, not all of her tubs, her seasonal tubs, she calls them, to the very bottom of the steps, which meant moving them across the basement. But it's not simply a matter of moving tubs. She wanted them in the spot where I had three big, like 6.5-foot shelves with all my stuff on it. So the shelves had to be moved. What we ended up doing was cleaning out the basement. We're still not finished, but I still have probably two more loads of things we're getting rid of that are coming to the LPR dumpster out back.
Yeah, so when I open my office window, I'll be hearing you like I did Monday night, dropping things like drywall. Yeah. Lord Feichtinger in here goes, man, that's some heavy stuff. I bet his back's got to be killing him. We didn't know.
He was dropping an engine off in there.
Yeah.
Well, a couple heavier items went down there too, so... It's nice to have a dumpster to put all that stuff in, because the guy at the recycling center in our county was really getting sick of looking at me. He wasn't getting sick of taking my money, but he was getting sick of looking at me.
Well, you should thank our listeners, because they're the ones that are paying the bill for the dumpster
right
in the back of the new offices.
It's ordinarily filled with, we have to have a dumpster because we're a commercial property, but it usually only has like 3 small trash bags in it at the end of the week that Lynn dutifully empties and takes out there. And now it's mostly full.
So. Except when tropical snow's there. It has a few more trash bags.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Email. Shane writes, and we got a lot of email on this. We'll just cover 2 here. Shane writes, please stop referring to Joe Biden as being elected because he wasn't. If he gets in, it's because he stole it. Followed by Justin, who says, assuming your prophecy that Biden will be inaugurated January 20th comes to pass, Christians are not required to accept, much less see as truth, that Biden fairly, legitimately, and legally became president. Court rulings, or as more accurate, court dismissals on procedural, not substantive grounds, do not determine truth. I am more interested in your comment that Christians must honor Biden as the president should he be inaugurated on January 20th. You seem to argue that this is the case even if Biden did not fairly, legitimately, and legally obtain votes in accordance with the U.S. Constitution and processes required by the state legislatures. I refer back to your discussion with Dr. Ryan McPherson on political resistance, which I recall asserting that Christians are able to engage in political resistance. Thanks for the email, Justin and Shane.
Okay, first of all, you don't have to believe that Biden legally obtained the office of the president. But if he's inaugurated, he's president. You don't have to believe he did it legally. I like to put it this way. Romans 13 does not require free and fair elections. the emperor who is sitting on the throne in Rome, when Paul wrote Romans 13 about submitting to governing authorities, now, he might have come into his office legitimately, but a lot of his predecessors and a lot of his followers, I mean, the people who succeeded him, may have assassinated their way into that office. They may have slept their way into that office. They may have bought their way into that office, all illegal means, but they were still emperor. Legally? No. Think about how many kings became kings just because they were born in the right family. Or because they happened to defeat their opponent in war or in battle, or maybe even just assassinate their opponent and take the throne by force. They were still kings. Romans 13 does not require free and fair elections. You can go on believing for the rest of your life that the elections were not free or fair. But if he is inaugurated, and it looks like he will be, he's president of the United States. He may be there illegally. I don't believe that to be true, but if you want to believe it, you can believe it. But he's still president of the United States, and Romans 13 still applies. Now, if you want to continue to fight that battle and find some way legally to challenge whether or not Joe Biden should be in the office of the president legitimately, knock yourself out. But you still have to acknowledge that he's president of the United States, and you're still bound by Romans 13 to submit to governing authorities. Romans 13 does not require free and fair elections. If it did, Christians, for the vast majority of history, would never have had to obey authorities because most of the time it was jungle law.
Kurt writes, longtime listener, enjoy your guests, but this Christmas music is terrible. I don't like some guys singing opera with unfamiliar melodies and foreign language. Traditional Christmas hymns give the most comfort. Happy New Year. God bless. Thanks for the feedback, Kurt.
Well, for some context, when the Christmas season rolls around there at Lutheran Public Radio, Sacred Music for the World, that's lutheranpublicradio.org, we play predominantly Christmas music for the 12 days of Christmas. And then when Epiphany rolls around...
No, it's only Christmas music.
Only Christmas music.
It's the only time of year where it's...
Only.
Only. That's because there are more Christmas hymns than there are Easter hymns or Lent hymns. Or Advent hymns.
And so then in Epiphany, we're playing Epiphany and Christmas hymns.
Some Christmas and Lord's Supper hymns, baptism hymns, just hymns you might sing in church on Sunday.
Now, some of the pieces, we try not to put foreign language pieces in there, although if we're really thinking globally, we probably put every language in there. But we try to put mostly English language, choral, easy to understand the words, pieces in our playlists. And we try to keep it as listenable as possible. But there are a couple pieces probably in there. I think we've probably got Pavarotti singing O Holy Night. That's going to sound very operatic to the average ear. And then there may be a couple of the singers in various pieces who have more operatic voices. But by and large, and occasionally, like we'll have Stille Nacht, Silent Night in German, because that even in German... You know, the audience likes to hear that song in German.
And the Bach cantatas are all in German.
Right, now, and that will sometimes sound very operatic. I'm thinking that's probably what he was listening to. And it didn't sound like a familiar Christmas hymn because a Bach cantata is actually an entire setting, kind of a little mini opera based upon, say, a text of scripture. And it does have choral pieces in it. It does have the chorales in there usually. But for the most part, the music there, except when we're playing our Bach cantatas. And when do we play those, Jeff?
Well, there's one for Christmas Day. There's one for the first Sunday after Christmas. There's one for the circumcision of our Lord on New Year's Day.
So usually at 1 p.m. and 8 p.m. on those days, we'll play that Bach cantata. And those are in German because...
Oh, we also play Praetorius Lutheran Mass for Christmas morning. That's also in German.
Yeah. So that might sound familiar, but we've been playing the Bach cantata since we started Lutheran Public Radio 8 years ago. I don't know how long ago it was now. Seems like forever ago. But listen, LutheranPublicRadio.org. It's on the Lutheran Public Radio mobile app as well. Sacred Music for the World. Right now you'll be hearing Christmas and Epiphany hymnody.
You know, I did a little math. You know how many Christmas hymns are in the Lutheran service book?
No.
35. Now let's say an average of 4 minutes times 35 gets you 140 minutes. 60 minutes in an hour. If we just played those 35 hymns in Lutheran Service Book, which we don't have. There's not recordings of all of them. But let's say we had them all. That would cover 2.5 hours a day. Would you prefer that we run the 2.5 hour loop of the same music over and over and over again? Now, in some cases, like Hark the Herald Angels Sing, we probably have several, you know, different things, but it would be the same hymn over the course of 2.5 hours. So there are going to be things that aren't in Lutheran Service Book.
Right. The motto is sacred music for the world, not familiar music for the world. So it's not all of it's going to be entirely familiar.
And music, there will never be consensus on music. I remember a good friend who was an announcer at a prominent major market classical music station. He said, the classical music people, the Bach people want only Bach. The Mendelssohn people only want Mendelssohn, and the Mozart people only want Mozart. So
we play Bach, Mendelssohn, and Mozart.
Yeah, but we play them all. We got you all covered. So thank you for listening, though. And yeah, we're continuing to stream that music, and the listenership was off the roof during the 12 days of Christmas.
That's good to hear. Now, the nice thing about this is that when you hear something there, it's not a flawless system. When you hear something there that you think doesn't belong, like if you start hearing a Lenten hymn during Christmas, please email us, as our listener did here. Please let us know, hey, I don't think that belongs. And we will either explain it to you because it does belong, or we will get in there and fix the problem.
Thanks for hitting Rod Dreher with some more critical questions in your interview with him. But it's really hard to listen to him. He is like a scared wolf in sheep's clothing. He's still the ethicist for the Never Trump movement, and it shows in his criticism of the right's reaction to the election. And if you read his piece, it even goes farther than that. He equates General Michael Flynn to Rudolf Hess in the piece. He just goes too far. He's scared. Whereas a wise man is prudent and hides when he sees troubles coming. I wouldn't say that Rod is prudent. He's just scared. And it's very hard to take him seriously, even though his assessments on many things are right. Thank you.
Well, I think you should take him seriously because his assessments on many things are right. Don't discount his assessment on, don't say, I'm not going to take him seriously because you happen to disagree with him on issues surrounding, say, President Trump. Christians are broad-minded in the sense that we love the truth wherever we find it. And if someone is speaking the truth, we can say, look, he's right on this point and he's right on that point. When you're right, you're right. But he's wrong on that point. Now, there is, in matters of theology, you could say, there are in matters of theology where you have to say of a certain teacher, it's not worth bothering with that teacher. Because they so fundamentally get so many things wrong, the few things they get right, you're going to get someplace else and much better than you get from them. So I don't agree with everything Rod says by way of solution. I don't have to. But I think his diagnosis of American culture, especially of soft totalitarianism as it manifests itself in corporate America, in addition to in governmental structures, not only is spot on, but he was the one calling that way before anybody saw it coming. He saw what it really was, a soft totalitarianism. Now, you might say he's scared. I don't know, maybe he is, but he's certainly not fear-mongering. Look at what's happened in the last several days. He's not fear-mongering about soft totalitarianism. In some cases, I think Rod's actually being rather restrained. And the other thing I'd like to say is, while you might not agree with the solutions that he offers, he's a little romantic about asceticism and a little romantic about monasticism. That's to be expected. He's Eastern Orthodox. But he does offer solutions. He does offer solutions rather than simply diagnosing the problems, which he does, by the way, very, very well. Don't dismiss someone's entire set of ideas just because you disagree with them on one or two. We'll be right back. I ain't got time to take no faster. The name of the Lord in the life of the Christian, the church, and fulfilled in Jesus. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January is Blessed Be His Name, Revealing the Sacred Names of God. It's written by regular guest Dr. Kevin Golden. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House and request Blessed Be His Name, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January, Blessed Be His Name.
Did you know that Lutherans are helping new American immigrants get settled? How about struggling church workers in need of support and refreshment? And we assist at-risk children and provide disaster response to hurricane victims. Through LCMS recognized service organizations, we are doing all this and more. I'm Rahema Kavuga of Lutheran Church Extension Fund, and I don't want you to miss out on hearing what your brothers and sisters in Christ are up to. Visit interesttime.org to see how your support gives life to these works of mercy and love.
For your next family vacation, consider Our Beach House, a charming three-bedroom vacation rental on beautiful Siesta Key. Just off Sarasota, Florida, Siesta Key Beach, consistently voted America's best, is just 100 steps away. Whether you're watching the sunset over the Gulf of Mexico or frolicking in the warm surf, you and your family will fall in love with Siesta Key. Check us out at SiestaKeyRentalGenie.com or call Virginia at 941-266-1858.
Concordia University Chicago is committed to keeping college affordable for all, and especially for LCMS Lutherans. We have scholarships available specifically for students who are LCMS members. This is Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia Chicago, asking you to encourage your student to check out Concordia Chicago at cuchicago.edu. And if you are interested in supporting these scholarships, please find us online at foundation@cuchicago.edu.
You can teach laypeople theology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor. Bethel Lutheran, Thunder Bay, Ontario. Faith Lutheran, Capistrano Beach, California. Grace Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin. Emmanuel Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Peace Lutheran, Hastings, Nebraska. Risen Christ Lutheran, Arvada, Colorado. St. John Lutheran, Strongsville, Ohio. St. Peter Lutheran, Arlington, Wisconsin, and University Hills Lutheran, Denver, Colorado. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support, Donate, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going through listener email, talkback@issuesetc.org, and the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382.
Whatever happened to Sting?
He's off being wealthy someplace.
Yeah, just wondering. Asking for a friend.
Former school teacher, really talented musician, made all his money and then just disappeared.
Do you know the name of any other member of the Police?
No.
Sometimes, isn't it true that after many, many years, you guys just don't sound the same?
Oh, no, he sounds better now.
Oh, does he
have
really?
Have you heard him? Oh, gosh.
I don't believe that.
He doesn't have that kind of high, he can't do those high notes, but man, the guy can sing like
crazy. I never understand people my age that want to go back to concerts to listen to Journey or whatever. First of all, I've kind of outgrown the music, but secondly.
But that's a genre thing. Because if it were somebody like some great jazz singer, you're going to go see that guy sing until he falls over dead. With the rock, who did I see? The lead singer from, you mentioned Journey. Who was the lead singer? Come on, Greg. You know who the
Steve Perry.
Steve Perry. Yeah. I saw Steve Perry. Somebody posted a TikTok video of him. And he still has the same kind of like shag haircut. And he's got to be close to 80 years old.
Wasn't he singing like at between innings in San Francisco during the playoffs several years ago?
He may have been, but at some point, don't you give up the rocker image? Don't you stop with the long hair? It's the same thing their fans do. They want to go back and be 17 again.
All I know is I always thought I wanted to marry Stevie Nicks, and thank God for unanswered prayers. Lindsay writes,
I could never see her face. Her hair was always in her face.
Oh, man. Man, she had that smoky, raspy voice, kind of like that.
Couldn't understand
Demi Moore.
A word she said.
Is it Demi Moore or Deborah Winger? Which who had the? They both kind of have like a.
I don't know. You're the one who you're like the aficionado of hot women from the early '80s.
It's probably just listed the three people that I know, and I know Stevie Nicks. I saw her in concert. She came to the University of Missouri when I was there, and Pat Benatar.
Wait, where does Grace Slick fit in all this too? She fits in here somewhere.
She's
too, right?
A little before. That's Jefferson. That's a little bit before my time. But I always thought she kind of looked old when.
They all looked old to me. I was a little kid.
Wait a second. You weren't like a little kid.
You and
Stevie
I are exactly the same age.
Right. So
I just felt like a little kid. I never had any aspirations of marrying anyone from Fleetwood Mac.
I'm not going there. Lindsay writes in this email, if we had email of the year, Lindsay, you win. Even though it's early in the year, nobody's going to beat your email. Here it is. Lindsay writes, is despair a sin? Thank you for the email and thank you for listening, Lindsay.
I guess it depends on what you mean by despair. I mean, there's despair little d, which is just giving up. On something. You despair of being able to accomplish something. You just give up and say, this is not going to happen. But I suspect you probably mean despair with a slightly larger capital letter D than that. If despair is feeling a genuine hopelessness, that is, God has abandoned me, or there is no God, or there is no possibility of salvation. That is kind of the flip side of unbelief. And people can be driven to despair. There's no doubt about that. I would say pastorally, there are a lot of levels of despair before you get to that abject despair that is, in fact, unbelief itself, or a denial of God's salvation, or a denial of grace. Say for someone who is suffering from depression, be it clinical or just kind of a seasonal depression or whatever it may be, there are going to be a lot of moments of despair in the course of the average week for them. There may be a time of despair. Nighttime may bring a feeling of despair or a sense of despair. But you recognize as a Christian that those things are transitory, that those things pass. And it's part of dealing with that kind of mental illness is recognizing it isn't going to last forever. And for the Christian, they have the deep root of faith that despite the feeling of despair, sense of despair, despairful thoughts that they might be entertaining at the moment, they know that God has not abandoned them. They remain grounded in God's word. It doesn't mean they feel better. It just means that in spite of the despair, there is a hope, even though they may not feel that hope at the moment. This is why we've been doing some of these, and I know you have an email pertaining to that. You might want to jump to that one. We're trying to get on as a regular basis Dr. Beverly Yonke, who deals with this professionally, but is also able to tie it together with a deep knowledge of Scripture and of the Christian faith. So it's... If you were feeling despair, I would not burden yourself by saying, oh, I not only feel despair, but I'm also sinning against God. I would rather than go deeper into your own thoughts and feelings, I would look outside yourself. Because if the despair that you are experiencing is in fact a sin, the only answer is going to be found in God's word. So you turn to the Psalms and you find the psalmist there at times beginning his psalm in what sounds like abject despair. And by the end, his hope is in the Lord because he has returned to the sure and certain word and grace of God. You know, when David starts writing a psalm that begins, out of the depths of woe I call to you, and then ends hoping in God, do you think he feels better by the time he's done writing that psalm? I don't think he does. I think he's allowing God's word to do its work on him. And he is speaking out of the depths of woe and yet fixing his eyes on the certainties of God's promises. So if I were dealing with this in a pastoral setting, I would say, let's not worry about whether this is sin. Let's answer your despair. And if indeed it is a sin, it will also answer the sin too. It will also answer the accusation of the law against that sin.
This is Tiffany from Southwest Minnesota. My dad and I are wondering why the LCMS stopped sponsoring Issues, etc. Can you detail the history of Issues for me?
Well, I can. That's a tall order. First of all, Jeff, let's, if you would, because you run things around here, can you explain to our listener here what's the relationship between the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and Issues, etc.?
Well, everyone who works here is a member of a Lutheran Church Missouri Synod congregation and or a pastor. As far as our relationship, the Office of National Mission for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is a sponsor. LCMS Ministry of the Armed Forces is a sponsor of the program.
They advertise. They pay to advertise.
Right, right. And we buy airtime on the Synod's flagship radio station in St. Louis. So that would be the current relationship of Lutheran Public Radio, Issues, etc., with the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
We're not a registered service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're not a branch of it. We don't work for them. Our relationship is cordial and collegial, and it's a partnership of sorts, rather unofficial, but they do pay to advertise with us. Now, if you ask the question, why is Issues, etc., no longer produced by the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod? That is a long story dating back to March 18th, 2008. Is that when it was? March 18th, 2008. And that was when we had, as a radio program, Issues, etc., been produced by KFUO Radio, AM in Clayton, Missouri, which is St. Louis. And we just got called in one day, Tuesday morning, Jeff and I was the host, Jeff was the producer. We were both employees of KFUO. We got called in one day by the HR department over at the International Center of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod there in Kirkwood. And we were told show was canceled. We had been on 100 stations nationwide. Show was canceled, and therefore our positions were terminated. And from that point on, a couple months later, we came back independently as an independent corporation and have been going strong ever since.
And to save time, we're going to post on today's podcast episode at our website, issuesetc.org, on the Talk on Demand archives page, a column by Molly Ziegler-Hemingway in the Wall Street Journal titled Radio Silence that goes into more detail. The Cliff Note version, the previous leadership of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, not in agreement with many of the things we were saying on Issues, etc.
Mostly theological things. They would have agreed with us wholeheartedly on issues, on what we would call social and moral issues, which are also theological. But when it came to the direction of theology, of
doctrine and practice.
Doctrine and practice, what it actually means to be a Lutheran, they were at odds with our positions. And long story short, they either had no use for us or just simply wanted us to go away. But our listeners saw that that didn't happen.
Yeah, thanks to our listeners. We came back, would you say April, March 8th? What was it, April 8th? What was the date of our cancellation?
It was March 18th.
March 18th, 2008. We came back June 30th as an independent operation. And our relationship with the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod has improved dramatically thanks to a change in leadership, going from one Gerald Kieschnick to our good friend Matt Harrison.
And I would say now our relationship with the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is entirely positive. I mean, we have, and bygones are bygones and the past is the past, and our relationship is there is good. That we're able to partner with them, we're able to work with them very nicely, and we're happy to be able to do it. When we come back, we're going to go through a little bit more listener email in the last 10 minutes of Issues, etc. That email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. And that comment line, 618-223-8382. If you appreciate Issues Etc., our 24/7 music and talk stations, and our daily verse-by-verse Bible study, The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, please include a bequest in your will or trust for these worldwide media resources. Bequests aren't subject to federal tax or capital gains taxes. Ensure your children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren the opportunity to listen by including a bequest in your will or trust for Issues Etc., Lutheran Public Radio, and The Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
Sent to Serve. Across the nation, children are back in 1,900 Lutheran schools serving students in early childhood through high school. Whether in person or through remote learning, students are thriving in programs of excellence in safe, caring Christian environments taught by dedicated teachers. To find a school in your community, visit lcms.org/schools. That's lcms.org/schools.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
For nearly 140 years, the Lutheran Witness has taught the faith, defended it against error, and shown forth the great treasures of the Lutheran Church and biblical doctrine. We're continuing this legacy by publishing issues and articles that help you see the world from a Lutheran perspective and that teach biblical doctrine and show forth the treasures of God's Word. Visit our website to learn more and how to subscribe, witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills, too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the gift of Latin today. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR21. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Many people ask how a good and loving God can allow the pain and suffering we all experience. Martin Luther struggled tremendously with this question and found its answer at the cross. Jesus' innocent death to pay the price for sin shows that He is love and that suffering cannot originate with this loving God. Our suffering in this life is due to our own rebellion against God's love, but God's sacrifice on the cross will rescue us from death and suffering.
That's one of the chapters in our new book, Objections Overruled, Answering Arguments Against Christianity, begins. That chapter, A Loving God Couldn't Allow Evil and Suffering, by Dr. John Bombaro. He's but one of the excellent apologists that we brought alongside to put together this great book, Objections Overruled. Other authors there in the book include, as top of the list, of course, Dr. John Warwick Montgomery, Craig Parton, Paul Meyer, Corey Moss, Adam Francisco, Mark Pearson, Angus Manouge, Alvin Schmidt, and Kirk Clayton, in addition to John Bombaro. This is a fantastic book, and our listeners have been absolutely thrilled with Objections Overruled, haven't they?
Yes, we've decided to extend the offer for a year-end donation of $250 or more. We'd send you this book and a recording of 15 Epiphany hymns, which, of course, we're in the season of Epiphany, featuring the Lutheran Public Radio Choir. You can still take advantage of this offer on the donate page at issuesetc.org. Objections Overruled. One of the things we didn't really mention, I think we only mentioned once or twice in the last couple of weeks of 2020, that it's also available as an audiobook.
And the audiobook is, how do they get to the audiobook? If you give that $250 donation or more,
we'll send them the information on how to download it.
Send you that information. And you heard the... Who's the guy who recorded this for us? Who's
Bob Sauer. He's a longtime radio guy who now voices books, audiobooks. And I mean, he's done big time Victor David Hansen.
He's I've heard his name on tons of audiobooks. So he was very generous with us and being willing to put this together for us and do the production work that was necessary to have this awesome audio version of Objections Overruled.
And if we can secure the funding, I think we're going to come out with another one this year with the same authors. Brad writes, if someone wants to come by the studio, what do they have to do?
Well, that's a good question. Many already have. We haven't made a big deal, an incredibly big deal about having people visit the studio. People have a tendency to find us anyway. The new studios of Issues Etc., The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, and Lutheran Public Radio. And that's because we still have a little work to do. Craig needs to clean up his area a little bit. We don't want to have an open house until... We are living in a pandemic. At some point, we are going to have an open house and allow people to come in and look around and see the workspace and see the new studios and see what their generosity made us able to do here. So if you want to come by, I'm not going to give out the address because I don't want to have people coming by. I mean, that's my judgment call here. If you want to come by, call Lynn, 618-223-8385. She'll set up an appointment. You can come over and see us, and we'd be happy to see you.
Yeah, it's just always good to, because sometimes people want to see Wilkin. If you're not in early in the morning, they're disappointed. So it's good to know that, hey, we got a visitor coming tomorrow.
Yeah.
Be in at 9:30 or something.
Well, and it's often, if you come anytime during the day, you're just going to watch us work. You know, Jeff can have time to jaw with you, but you're probably going to be watching us work. We spend a fair part of the middle part of the day recording interviews for the live show. So you might get a chance just to see us work and not have a lot of conversation.
We have quite a bit. We spend quite a lot of time conversing around here, though.
Oh, you mean just shooting the breeze?
Yeah.
I would say about 35% of the day.
Politics, sports. Although
solving the world's problems. Okay,
apparently the blues season is tonight. Craig starts St. Louis blues season. Is it tonight? Oh, it's next week. It's next week. Craig keeps telling us, you know, St. Louis blues season, and we just nod our heads and it's like, yeah, go blues.
He'll always ask, hey, did you see that blues game last night? I'm like,
for 12 years, we've never told
seen,
him no.
I have never seen a blues game.
I got to start the countdown. T-minus 6 days. Today is T-minus 6 days, gentlemen.
Speaking of the building, did you just turn up the heat during the break?
No, uh-uh.
I know it's not Lynn, because she is probably gone by now. Craig's been sitting in his chair the whole time.
Yeah, I don't know.
I opened my vent to get a little ventilation, and the next thing I know, it's blowing heat on me.
Huh.
And it's really warm in here.
Hey, our good friend Sumner just sent an email. He said Sting was just at the online 250th anniversary gala of the Society of St. George's Society of New York, a group that Sumner belongs to.
That doesn't surprise me a bit about Sumner, that he belongs to some, what is it called?
The Society of St. George's Society of New York.
Was he there as a member or like performing there?
It was online.
Okay.
So, yeah. So
maybe Sumner's Sting. In the same society as Sting.
Sting lives.
Is Sting a knight? Has he been knighted by the Queen?
Probably.
Yeah. I mean, do you call him what? Sir Sting?
I think he has it. Now that you say that, I think he has.
I would think he has. I mean, Elton John, who else? All these people get these official knightdoms by the Queen. I don't think she would have passed Sting by.
Butch writes, this is a great name. We need more of our listeners to call their children Butch. Butch writes, I received an email some months ago with a link to Pastor Bender's teaching on the Small Catechism. I've been listening to that series on my morning walks. I'm about to end that series and think that Brian Wolfmiller did something regarding the books of the Bible. Is that something I can access like Bender's teaching on the Catechism? Thanks for the request and thanks for listening, Butch.
Showing how poor my memory is, have I done a page on the books of the Bible? I don't think I have.
Well, considering not this Monday, but the following Monday, which I believe is January 18th, will be the book of Revelation. You better get to work.
Okay. All right. Well, okay. By the time we finish mid-January, I will have assembled a one-page, one-stop, listen-to-it-all page for introducing the books of the Bible with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. We actually have made it through the entire Bible.
Yes, we have. And we haven't forgotten about our Lutheran Confession series with Pastor Paul McCain. The page has been assembled, but it has several missing holes.
I actually replaced one.
Well, that was one, but there's still several other missing holes. And we have to listen to it to make sure that the audio links are correct, not just the text. So we are still working on that.
And it will be available. Let you know when it's completely available for everyone to listen to. And what was the other thing?
Wolfmiller.
What are we doing with the good Pastor Wolfmiller after we're done with Revelation?
Well, it's a work in progress, my friend. You know Brian, he's got lots of ideas.
Snap, snap. He's an idea man, that's for sure.
Noah.
So that will be coming forth. All right.
Yes. Noah writes, thank you for all you do. In the midst of the rage and protests of January 6th, I turned on Lutheran Public Radio, and the first song I heard was Built on the Rock, the Church Does Stand. God be praised that we are not built on constitutions or capital buildings or empires, but on the rock of Christ.
That is very good to hear. You know, that's part of the reason we have Lutheran Public Radio, our 24/7 sacred music station, is because it's not an escape. Let's not use our theology and our devotion as an escape from the world, but it is a refuge from the world. We can never escape, not until you die and go to see Jesus. Do you escape this world? So Christians never seek an escape. We seek a refuge from the world that strengthens us. And from that refuge, we're able to go back out again and fight the good fight. And that's part of what we're trying to do with Lutheran Public Radio.
Kevin writes, well, it's the 12th day of Christmas. I'm finally listening to the episode with Dr. Beverly Yonke about holiday blues and depression. What an excellent episode. I should have listened to it sooner. I'd like to suggest that it run weekly this upcoming December to help us all keep the stresses and expectations of the holidays in perspective. Thanks for all that you do, and thank you for listening, Kevin.
Well, Jeff, we'll put that on the list for a holiday classic that we can post, an encore that we can post for our listeners next time we come around to the Christmas season. But as I said before, we are planning to have a weekly, is that right, Jeff? Weekly sessions with Dr. Beverly Yonke, maybe look, every 2 weeks?
I'll take it if it's biweekly, monthly.
Regular.
Four times a year. If we have her on twice, that's more than we did last year. And you know it's been my goal to get her on regularly for a long time.
So we've got her set up with a pretty good microphone situation. She sounds fantastic. And we're going to bring Dr. Beverly Yonke to you as often as we possibly can.
What do we have, 30 seconds? I guess we better talk about issues, et cetera, sound by the year tomorrow. That's the only thing we have scheduled for tomorrow. So have at it, Wilkin.
All right.
What are the candidates?
We got four candidates this year. It's Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, the proper place of works in assurance. Soundbite number two, Pastor Peter Bender, some of Martin Luther's thoughts on the Lord's Supper. Soundbite number three, Dr. Alveda King, what will unite people? And soundbite number four, for your consideration tomorrow when we play issues, et cetera, soundbite of the year, Dr. Joel Bierman, safety versus hope in a pandemic. All four of those soundbites were the top vote getters in the weeks that they were put up for soundbite of the week. They're the top vote getters for the year, and we're going to pit them against one another tomorrow. You can vote in advance at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
This is Jeff Schwarz, General Manager of Lutheran Public Radio, with a message for listeners in the Mountain and Pacific time zones. We pledge to have Issues Etc. podcasts posted daily, no later than 5 p.m. Mountain, 4 p.m. Pacific. This will allow you to download and listen to the latest Issues Etc. podcast weekdays during your evening commute. Again, if you live in the Mountain or Pacific time zone, download Issues Etc. before you leave work and listen during your drive home.
St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Wildwood, Missouri is a proud sponsor of Issues Etc. And if you enjoy the relevant, Christ-centered teachings presented on this program, then you should come and join us at St. Paul's on Sundays at 9 a.m., where you will hear sermons that proclaim Jesus Christ and Him crucified for our sins, and enjoy in-depth Bible studies to help us grow as disciples. For more information, check us out at stpaullutheranwildwood.org.